Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello. And John, not John, Steve. John, actually, John is a little bit under the weather.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
He's always under the weather.
Well, he's just not that tall, but no. But we're praying for him. Keep him in your prayers right there. Join us today is Stephen Kalaszewski.
Well, hello.
Hey, man.
It's good to be here.
It's very good to be here. He is the troop master for the first Trail Life troop, FL 1998, in Escambia County, Florida. The tip of the Florida Spear, I guess it would be the very last county before you move into L.A., Lower Alabama.
Yeah.
And we are so excited about joining you. We love our Christian Television Network audience around the nation, around the world, our VFN radio audience. As we talked about, even tomorrow we'll talk more about our social connection to all the media we have around the world. But our Gulf Coast audience, you know, from Destin to Mississippi, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Think about it. All these things are taking place. One particular man came to my home once and he said, you know, I really love my church and I love my pastor. And that was so good because I always tell folks, you know, you need to really encourage them and pray for them. Mm-hmm. But he said, the world's falling apart and every single Sunday he's just preaching on grace. You know, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. I mean, I said, abide, you know, abide, get with God and God will speak to you. But he just said every single Sunday, and we need to know about grace. If we don't know about grace, there's just no way, you know, we could be here. I mean, it's the grace of God, but there's more dimensions to God than his grace.
Right.
And if all we know is grace, that ends up beginning to be twisted and permission type thing going on. But, and so he's panicking going, you know, I just see all this stuff going on. I don't know what to do. And it's like, well, first of all, remember you answer alone before God. So you got to do what you got to do what God's called you to do. Mm-hmm. You can maintain relationships with people anywhere in the world today. So you're not contingent upon some horse ride and buggy ride out to the wilderness to stay, you know, with a group of folks. You can still stay connected, but find God, find the voice of God, abide with God. But we have VFN TV now. Every single day, at least Monday through Friday, weekdays, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio.
Right.
You know, we're trying to bring a holistic perspective of, you know, a light perspective. You know, Jesus commanded us to keep the conversation light or be the light of the world. Commanded us. And so that's what we're trying to do. So along with your fellowship and your church, if you're listening and partnering with and standing up every day with VFN TV, you put those things together. You don't have to wait to Sunday. I mean, thank God for the grace you're going to hear on Sunday, but all week long, you're going to find out, oh, we need to repent as a nation. Oh, for we have sinned. Oh, for the Lord is angry with us. Or, hey, things are great. And, you know, we're beginning, you know, good things, bad things, whatever. But we try to bring that perspective because there's so much going on. Now, truly, you know, being, you know, I myself, you know, a pastor of church, you know, and Pensacola, Florida, the Dream Center. And I used to just try to just keep the church up to date what was going on. And it was like, okay, you got to cut it off at some point because it was just like overload. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you can imagine what you're hearing now there. I mean, we're going to cover the, you know, southeastern part of the world today. And so now in conjunction, you know, those that I pastor and that I pastor along with three other pastors that are there actually that do the daily, you know, wonderful, wonderful job loving on the people that are there, is they're able to join in on VFN TV, Data Radio Program, VFN Torch, and then they can get fully impacted with that knowledge while they're getting a gathering at least once a week where you're getting the love and the fellowship of God's folks and encouraged and hands laid on you and the koinonia that happens when you come together because you need it all. And too many things are going on to think you can figure it out in 15 minutes on a Sunday. I mean, this is a lifelong journey. And so I thank God for VFN TV and Data Radio Program, what God has been revealing and what we've been sharing with you. We think of our sponsors who stand up and our partners. Make sure, you know, join us. Go to VFNTV.com, visit our sponsors, become a partner, stand with us as we stand together for God and country in that order and for Israel. Speaking of that today, and we're going to do our best to get through these topics and we'll go to the point that we can't and then we'll continue in the future programs. But, you know, earlier we talked about earlier in the year when President Barack Obama made this statement, because what we tried to do is like, yeah, we could just tell you, you know, they're calling names, the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, they're calling him terrible names right now. And they've been doing it for quite some time, leaders in the White House. Or we can actually tell you the whole story and the context of it. We talked about that God uses Israel as the woodshed to be able to discipline a nation who rebels against him. Well, why is this happening? Why is our leadership turning against Israel? Well, think about this. It all began specifically with Israel when our president made the statement sometime back, and you can see it on the VFN Torch, he said that Israel should go back to the 1967 borders, mm-hmm. which are undefensible borders, which the only reason they have extended their borders between after 1967 is because they were attacked with those kind of borders. And so they had, and we'll make this available to you. We may even have it on the program today. Ever how goes Israel? Understand, if we turn our back on Israel, God is going to deeply, deeply discipline, you know, the nation. And we are. I mean, the leaders are. And the leaders in America are not some people who just came in to be dictators. They're people that your neighbor or possibly you voted for or failed to vote for the mm-hmm. ones who weren't them. And so that is voting. And so what do we have today? We have the very same battle happening in Israel happening in America and Canada. I mean, you look with the radical Islam, they're calling it, which is Islamic fundamentalists that are following the Quran, that even, I think her name is Rahe Raza in Canada, she's part of a president of the Council of Muslims Facing Tomorrow. She says that they need a reformation inside Islam. Well, if you need a reformation, it means, based on my understanding, what everybody's doing is right, but we got to change that so right's better than it presently is, because right now is not right. Mm. That's what reformation, you know, you're going to mm-hmm. reform this thing.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And, but thank God she's speaking out. As a matter of fact, hopefully we're going to have a big specific part of her speaking out today. She's actually stands up for the prime minister. She is a Muslim. And she's saying what is happening is like Ebola with radical Islam, and you have to deal with it like mm-hmm. Ebola. And if you stop having people come into your nation who has this disease called radical Islam, then you can contain it in your own nation, and then you can remove it from your nation. She has an open letter to all of Israel, including to mosques and Muslims in Canada, saying, you know, we need to bring this out of our country. She's not saying taking Islam out or moving Muslims out, but this thing needs to be reformed. Right. This is wrong. This is evil. She right. calls it barbaric. So you'll have her talking. That's what we've been praying wow. for. We've been praying for Muslims, you know, the silent majority is irrelevant. She's not mm-hmm. being silent. And she's giving she wrote an open letter, I think 10 things what Canada needs to do to remove it from the radical murdering, beheading evilness of ISIS, you know, and all that stuff going on. Mm-hmm. It's really common sense, but it's really good to hear somebody say it, you know, and the Muslim faith. And she's asked the question, what do you think about America? How they're not responding to it the way that Canada's responding to it. And so you'll be encouraged. Department of Homeland Security will be talking about reports, Fox News reports, that we are upping our security for all of our federal buildings. Why? Because we're not dealing with this whole radical Islamic movement that's taking place in the world. And she says, and you'll hear her when she talks, and we've talked about this, that the whole theme... Because the question was, what do you think about them wanting to take over Israel? And she says it's not just Israel; they want to take over the world, mm-hmm. and that it's wrong, mm-hmm. and we need reformation. We need to say it's wrong. This silent majority of Muslims need to stand up and say something about it. And she says that is the theme of the Muslim Brotherhood. Mm-hmm. This is a Muslim, a leader in Canada, who says that's the theme of the Muslim Brotherhood. Well, you understand if you've been listening to VFN TV or VFN Radio that that we've partnered with. Mm-hmm. Our leaders have partnered with the Muslim Brotherhood. We are the ones that helped put Morsi in his place in Egypt, mm-hmm. you know, but prior to the Egyptians going, what are you doing? This mm-hmm. is the Brotherhood. You know, we're the one that gave our first international speech in Cairo, the President Obama did, and invited in the illegal operatives of the Muslim Brotherhood, mm-hmm. reportedly, and painted a picture of why they need to be able to do it. We're seeing this Arab Spring go across mm-hmm. in this potential caliphate, and this ISIL, which is the Levant, coming surrounding Israel there. All those things we talked about. So she's saying, as a Muslim, saying that the Muslim Brotherhood is like the epicenter of all this. And their goal is to not just take over Israel, but to take over the whole world. And specifically, she's going to speak about the Western world, which means America and Canada, and to bring a caliphate. So whether our president knows it or not, he's openly partnered with, according to Michelle Bachmann, according to Congressman Michelle Bachmann, what she's revealed, with including Hillary Clinton, mm-hmm. you know, with her assistant, you know, Uma,
yeah.
and which is a daughter of a leaders in the Muslim Brotherhood who are now passed, her father is. And for some reason, our leaders are thinking, you know, let's just get this partner with the Muslim Brotherhood. Well, if their ultimate goal is a caliphate and to yeah. rule the world, and
that's not good.
Yeah, and America has a history of picking tyrants to be over people. You know, it's like this tyrant will be over this one, this tyrant will be over this nation here because these people won't listen. So we kind of fuel this whole, you know, because they're so wild, let's get a tyrant. And it's like they're trying to pick one huge tyrant organization mm-hmm. called, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood potentially to just oppress a people. You cannot have the U.S. Constitution and a caliphate. I mean, you got to make up your mind, you know, what you're going to have.
Right.
And so we'll be hearing that. And that's why they're upping security around right now. When you go to your federal courthouse and you go to your federal buildings, they're upping security because they saw what happened in Canada and they're believing this very same thing could be possibly happening in America. And she gives the rudiments of how to be able to eradicate it, which is just, it's very, very encouraging. And it's almost a 10-minute interview. Wow. And we want you to be able to hear that because who says it better than somebody who is in it, who says this part of us is wrong and we need to deal with it, we need to reform it. We'll have that for you when we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, 2 locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy. $50 Eye Guy.
What's the difference between an ordained minister and a minister who is commissioned? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Our bylaws are very explicit that a commissioned minister can do everything but marry and bury. The IRS is dragging its feet in one case and has denied a campus minister in the other case on their exemption.
It's a tougher call because usually what the test is, do they serve the functions of a minister, which is usually you can marry and bury and you're ordained. I would say if they're not ordained, it's going to be very difficult. And when they're ordained, you're going to have no problem. But until they're ordained, I think it's going to be very difficult in the sense of a housing exemption or any of that. That's given as what they call the grace of government. And I think you've got to have churches tax exempt because you run into all kinds of church-state separation issues. But when it comes to individual ministers, it's a different situation.
Learn more about our work and receive timely updates on the most critical issues facing our country today by visiting us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
It is amazing how this is all working.
It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Reports are that from The Atlantic, from Jeffrey Goldberg, that the White House, some of the leaders in the White House have been name-calling Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for quite some time. And he's been writing down all the names that they've called Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And just this week, October 28th or so, the article states in the Atlantic that they literally called Prime Minister chicken manure. And I'm not using the word that they used. You have to understand, when all these things we're talking about, you're seeing partnership with potentially with the Muslim Brotherhood, according to Congressman Michelle Bachmann. You're seeing the right-hand assistant to Hillary Clinton, daughter of the Muslim Brotherhood. You're seeing us empower the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. You're seeing you're about to hear from someone in Canada who is Muslim saying that they represent forcing the Middle East to move in this. Like, what? This is this whole thing. This is a wave of Islamic fundamentalism coming over America like a wave, while we're trying to be politically correct and just waving all of our constitutional rights. And it's like, we have to pay attention, and you cannot attack Israel like this. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can do it, but you can't survive it. Even if you succeed for putting them in bondage for 70 years, in the end, God will deal with you, even if he used you as an oppressor to be able to deal with them for a while. And you wouldn't want that. As a matter of fact, I want you to hear right now, Rael Raza, president of the Council for Muslims Facing Tomorrow. And she spells it out, because they just had this attack in Canada. She's Canadian, and she's talking from a Canadian perspective. But it's so much wisdom is what she says. And the interviewer from CBN is talking to her about, you know, what do we need to do? What do you think about how we're responding to it? As a matter of fact, I want you to watch this and listen to it.
Thousands of Canadians gathered today to honor the fallen soldier, Corporal Nathan Cirillo. He was the victim of last week's terror attack in Ottawa. What is an appropriate response to this recent wave of Lone Ranger terrorist attacks in the West? Well, one prominent Muslim in Canada is speaking out, suggesting that a harsher response is needed at this time. So joining us via Skype from Canada is Rael Raza. She's an award-winning journalist and president of the Council of Muslims Facing Tomorrow. Rael, thank you for being with us. You responded recently to that terrorist attack in Ottawa by writing an open letter of warning to all Canadians saying, your country's under attack. Now, why did you write that, and what is your concern?
Well, this is not something new. I have been speaking out about the rise of radicalization and terrorism in the West, especially in Canada, for the last decade, actually over a decade, and more so after 9/11. I wrote a book. I've been speaking out at interviews and saying that, you know, radicalization is on the rise and we need to be more vigilant. We need to be careful. Are we really going to wait until something happens on Canadian soil? Because as you know, among Western countries, Canada is a country that was relatively safe. Not so anymore. People call this a lone wolf, a lone attack. But if you connect the dots, it's not really so separate. It's not so lone. In 2006, we had 18 young men, Muslim men, who were apprehended for threatening to behead the prime minister. And since then, we have had terror attacks, and they all connect because it is a rise in radicalization, and especially among the youth.
And so Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper did call last week's attack an act of terror, yet our own president here in the United States hesitated to call it that. Why the reluctance? What's the consequence of this reluctance to call it what it is?
Well, the consequence of reluctance to be politically correct and to not call it what it is what results in events like 9/11. And, we are thankful that we have Stephen Harper as our prime minister, who has called it what it is. There are still people saying that you should not call this terrorism. So what, do you have to wait for 30,000 people to die before you call it terrorism? Again, as I said, this has to be seen in its entire context. The rise in radicalization, young Canadians being manipulated to go and fight the jihad in Syria and Iraq by ISIS. So there is something afoot which has been there for a long, long time. In the last 30 years, there has been a rise in radicalization.
Okay, let's discuss some of the things that you say should be done. Now, you've called on the Canadian government to close all mosques for 3 months, monitor the sermons of the imams. What about religious freedom and freedom of speech in Canada? Where does that come in?
Well, I say that it is to ensure religious freedom, because religious freedom should definitely never border on hate. Now, some of the sermons at the mosques and some of the writings by Muslim leaders do border on hate. And when you promote hate against another community and call them the other, I mean, the very country that you're living in, it makes it easy for people who are radicalized to attack that country. On the same blog where I have put this letter, I have also copied and pasted a sermon by a Canadian imam, a press release by a Canadian imam, and an article by a very big leader of the Muslim community, in which they say exactly this, that it's Canada's fault. So what happens when you keep on repeating this every Friday at mosque sermons is that the idea gets into young people's head that the West is bad and that it's okay to attack the West. And this is how this ideology has grown. So all I have suggested is that these sermons need to be monitored. And it's not just me saying it. There was a Washington Post article about 3 years ago proving that almost 80% of North American mosques have radicalized imams who are giving a sermon of hate and, against what we call the other. So these need to be monitored, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, religious freedom will exist. It'll always be there. That's why I said 3 months. Muslim organizations need to have their finances monitored, including mine.
I was going to ask you about that, because I know that you also said in your letter that their donations need to be stated, where they're coming from. Islamic schools should be shut down if they're teaching hate. There should be a temporary moratorium on immigration from Muslim countries, and assurances that some Canadian men are not going to wage jihad and then come back and endanger Canada. It seems a bit extreme to some people. How have government officials and, of course, your fellow Muslims responded to this?
Well, in every way that you can imagine, but extreme times call for extreme measures. As I said, what are we going to do? Are we going to wait until there are more attacks? Are we going to wait until more Canadians are killed before we actually wake up and do this? You know, the Australian government today said that they're going to put a stop to entry into Australia from countries that are carrying the Ebola virus. Radicalization is a virus, and it needs to be treated as such. It is a virus, so if we close off the doors from where this virus is coming, perhaps we'll be able to contain some of the homegrown stuff that we have here. I mean, Canada has a lot of work to do. The Muslim communities have a lot of work to do, which means looking to see where this radicalization is coming from. And we can't do it if there are constantly people coming in from countries that are promoting terrorism, that are training people towards terrorism. So a moratorium does not mean completely closing immigration. It just says, let's clean up our house. Let's make sure that the guests who are coming into our home are not coming here to harm us. And for those who want to fight the jihad, we are more than willing to buy them one-way tickets to just go there and never come back. This is Canada. We feel secure here. This is our home. and we want to keep it safe and secure. And the only way we can do it is stand up and speak out and say that we have a problem within the Muslim communities of radicalization. And we need to take care of it. We need to solve that problem. And it is solvable.
And of course, also being targeted by ISIS and other jihadists is Israel. Now, Sheikh Kamal Khatib, the deputy leader of the Islamic movement in Israel earlier this month, said not only will Jerusalem become the capital of a Palestinian state, but also the capital of the coming Islamic caliphate. Do you agree with that or disagree?
Of course I disagree. But this idea of lashing out at Israel and wanting to take over the Islam, not only the entire Middle East, but the whole world, so to speak, is a dream that they have. And this is their vision. If you look at the mandate of the Muslim Brotherhood, that is exactly what it is, to infiltrate the West, weaken them from inside, and then, you know, ensure that these caliphates are put into place. So we have to protect ourselves. We have to make sure without resorting to hate or bigotry. That is never the solution. What happens, unfortunately, in times like this is that everybody who's frustrated and angry will lash out. And that's not what solves the problem. We have to do this through dialogue. We have to do this through working together as Canadians together, regardless of where we come from. And we have to do it with dignity and respect. But we must stand up and say that there is a problem. When 99% of the Muslim community is in denial, and also many Canadians are in denial because they don't like conflict, they don't want to call this a terrorist attack, they don't like sanctions being put on our freedoms. But as I said, extreme times call for extreme measures. If that is the only way to solve the problem, so be it. I'm supportive of Prime Minister Stephen Harper's initiatives to make sure that we are safe. And that is what every country needs to do.
And I think, Raheel, that many Americans actually applauded him calling it what it was, Islamic terrorism. And many people would see you as a voice that is a rare one, a much-needed response, what you're saying. Why do you think we don't see more collective condemnation of ISIS, terrorism, jihadists from the Middle East, Muslims? And why the reluctance here by Western governments and leaders to respond in the same manner that you've suggested for Canada?
Well, it's very difficult to face the truth and speak the truth. As far as politicians are concerned, they're looking for votes. And it's important to get those votes. As you said yourself, my voice is that of a minority. As far as the Muslim communities are concerned, they're in denial. And to accept that we have a problem means that we have to look within. We have to start talking about a reform.
So you're looking at sanity.
Wow.
You're looking at sanity, you know, and that's what we've been crying out for and asking for. And we know we've talked about the letter that was written by 100 and something, you know, Islamic scholars that renounce what's taking place in ISIS. But she's even more, she's normal.
Yeah.
She's just saying, we don't want to die. We want to have a peaceful country. She's Canadian. Mm-hmm. And we get back from this break. We're going to talk a little bit about this Iman's letter. We'll make it available to you also on the VFN Torch. You need to share this post. You need to go to the VFN Torch and make it known to folks, because some of the things that are being said sounds like to us, you know, this is a violation of the First Amendment rights, but is the Constitution being used against us so mm-hmm. it can be replaced by the caliphate? We have to understand some of those things. We get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You may be joining us today and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. We try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent His Son so that you can have a relationship with Him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories. Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook. You need to know in whom you believe. You need to know God. It's not enough to know about him, to know of him, but you have to walk with Jesus. You have to have an intimate relationship. Because we're entering a season that's going to be some of the worst of times, but at the same time is going to be some of the best of times. And you're going to need to know God. You're not going to be able to, as maybe you've heard said, play church, if you will, as if you could. You're going to need to know him. And so we want to encourage you now. This is the best day. Today is the day of salvation. And we want to encourage you that if you are a believer, begin an abiding relationship with the Lord. What is that? That's when you spend time with God, you read his word, and you allow his word to penetrate your heart. And when it does that, it transforms your life. You walk together with God. You walk united with him. We have a simple plan for you, and you can get it. It doesn't cost you a thing at iabide.org. Go there today. Go there today and sign up for this free plan. And it's kind of a roadmap to help you on a day-to-day basis begin to start setting that time with God as a priority. And as you do that, it's amazing what God will reveal to you, what he will show you. I mean, children are abiding, and that God's saying some of the most amazing things to them, and they're writing it down. So you just don't want to miss it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So if you missed it, you got to just hear what we just talked about. We had an interview with Rahil Raza, the president of the Council of Muslims Facing Tomorrow, and the most sane human being human comment about what's taking place in Canada, and who has socialized medicine, you know, who is still somewhat under the Queen. So all this stuff in America, we're talking about, you know, we're focusing on the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
At the church, we need to start focusing on love and repentance and treating people well and forgiveness and God and his way of doing things. And the God that we serve, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose son he gave for us, Jesus Christ, his name is love, you know, and he's a merciful God, but he's a holy God. And when we start following him, I mean, he's radical. You see what radical Islam's like. Radical Christianity's like this. When they punch Pat in one cheek, he turns the other cheek, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man, the camera crew's quick. It was like boom, duct tape. And then they, or when somebody comes up to you and says, you know, I'm going to charge you 10% taxes, say, I'm going to pay you 20% taxes. No, that's not what he said. He said, when somebody says, carry my bag for a mile, offer to carry it for 2 miles. When a government employee tells you to carry their bag, when the soldier tells, that's what you had to do. Somebody, if a soldier in your country at that time said, carry my bag, wouldn't that be nice?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that you had to carry it. That was a law, but you only had to carry it, I believe, 1 mile.
They had big bags.
But he's saying, you know, go beyond that. And so the truth, when we follow our king, when we're willing to give the sugar, to the cup of sugar to the neighbor who asks, we're willing to lend without expecting anything in return. When we're willing to lay down our life, that's the gospel. That wins. Mm. It totally wins. But this political arguing and conservatism and, you know, Christian quote institutions who are polling folks are saying that Christians would prefer to be called conservatives than Christians. Christian means Christ follower.
Right.
And it's like, but if we follow him, then it really works out, because even you can go back and watch an interview in Iraq on Iraqi television where Muslims are saying, these Christians in our community, they should not be being beheaded and killed around their homes. They're like flowers in our community, and they're crying and weeping for them because they walked in a way that we got to learn to walk. The Christians there walked in a way that we got to learn to walk. And it's the walk of love, and love is patient, kind, long-suffering. And people take advantage of you when you love. I mean, if you don't allow people, I mean, not just say, hey, come take advantage of me. But if you spend your whole life offended because somebody dissed your name or took your stuff or, you know, didn't give you a raise or something, you're not walking in love. I mean, that's what we're called to do, what's right, as Peter says. Mm-hmm. To be accused that we did it for the wrong mm-hmm. reasons and suffer for it, suffer for doing what's right. And then this is what he says, and this is commendable before God. I mean, is that like the opposite American gospel?
For this you're called.
All right, it's like that. Today we're going to be preaching on, I'm going to get mine. Next week we'll be talking about standing on the highway pointing at cars. You're driving my car. People actually have done this. Like, what are you doing? Anyway, so here she is. She's talking. She talks about a particular letter written by an imam, which, by the way, is a leader of a mosque in Canada, and she is Canadian, and she has been some time a lone wolf voice almost in regards, not a lone wolf, but a lone voice in the Islamic community saying, mm-hmm. that we've got to do this. This thing's coming. And in there, he asked for specific things. And the first thing I think about, you know, this is like a violation for us. It'd be the First Amendment violations. But he writes, he says, this is what we need to do. And the whole letter will be made available to you on the VFN Torch. He says, close all mosques for 3 months.
Wow.
This is what's being said in Canada. I'm just reading the letter, what the imam's saying in Canada. Close all mosques. Mosques are where Muslims go to fellowship and focus on the teachings of Quran and Muhammad. Muhammad. Close all mosques for 3 months to have intense scrutiny of the imams, which are the leaders, and their sermons for the past 3 months. In other words, shut it down for 3 months, look at the past 3 months, and let's just find out, you know, what in the world are we saying that's causing young people to come up in Canada that wants to kill Canadians? It kind of makes sense. Anyway, and it's not forever. He says, this is not of abuse. It goes on to say, his letter, this is not an abuse of religious freedom. It's to ensure that religion can be free and survive in Canada while protecting the country. The moment we begin to protect a religion over a country is the moment you don't have a country mm-hmm. anymore. It becomes, you know, the Church of England, you know, and mm-hmm. you get beheaded for switching faiths or whatever.
All right.
And that's why America was, you know, the Revolutionary War. So then on number two in his letter, this imam out of Canada, he says, all Muslim organizations, including mine, he says, should submit detailed financial statements to show where their donations are coming from. And some reports are that these radical Islamic nations who have ministers, for example, Iran has a minister to do all this stuff,
right.
Is funding schools in Canada and funding mosques. And reportedly the same's happening in some in America. Number three, he says, to put a moratorium on immigration from Muslim countries for a set period of time till matters here in Canada are settled. Anyone wishing to partake in armed jihad abroad or proven to be returning from such a venture needs to have their citizenship revoked and given a one-way ticket to the country of their choice as soon as possible.
Wow.
This sounds like a speech from former presidents that stood up for our country, right. Didn't it? Number four, the imam from Canada writes, Islamic schools need to be accountable, and if their syllabus shows even a minute part of hate, something of that nature, they should be shut down. In other words, if they're saying, if any school anywhere, and I think a lot of schools in America are have a dialogue against America,
mm-hmm.
according to the president of King College, think of his name for a moment. Mm-hmm. He had a couple movies and books, and Dinesh D'Souza.
Oh, okay.
And that they're just teaching against America. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised. Interview some of the kids in school right now, the college students and the high school students. They'll tell you, they'll know more about, you know, these dictators than they know about our own country, and they speak negative about our own country. And that's government funded. And then number five, he says, in Canada, this Iman in Canada, that the Islamists call for unreasonable accommodations like face coverings, special prayer spaces, Friday prayer for public schools should be taken with a pinch of salt instead of just given to these things, these demands, just given into them. There should be a body of well-informed Canadians discussing and debating these issues in light of Canadians or Canada's values and norms. In other words, we have a constitution.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, you went and fought in Iraq, you fought with all Americans who went and fought side by side of all different faiths,
mm-hmm.
because it's e pluribus unum, though we're many, we're one. And so that is something that that's a character trait that we have value we have in America. But the second we begin to lift this faith over the Constitution, then you're looking at history of other countries and what's happened in there.
Mm-hmm.
And what we believe is that America was founded on Judeo-Christian values, but Judeo-Christian values is a love for all mankind. You know, it's actually loving your enemy and praying for them.
Right.
It's a just thing. It's if no matter what your faith is, if you get falsely accused of a crime or accused of one, if you can't afford an attorney, America's Constitution says one will be appointed to represent you. That you're innocent before proven guilty. That doesn't say what your faith is. So all citizens have that right of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And what it looks like they're saying here is that we got to remember that in light of what's saying here in Christian faith is not in conflict with the American Constitution. And one of the things that that you start thinking about, though, you start thinking about shut down the mosque for 3 months, and you start thinking about, you know, recent statements from political leaders in America saying, you know, send me your sermons and we want to review them. And there's a big difference between people strategizing against the nation,
mm-hmm.
making war. I mean, jihad, I mean, one of the issues based on my understanding of what we've talked about historically, and you can see it on the VFN Torch, where the jizya tax, where it's like a, you know, a servitude type tax, and then you have the, you know, your offering that you give into the Islamic faith, that's not tax deductible like you would if you gave to another organization, another faith. Mm-hmm. For example, if you give it to a Christian church, you give your offering and you have a nonprofit status, and then that's tax deductible. Well, based on my understanding, the reason why Islam does not get a tax deductible deduction on their giving is because 1/6 of that, I believe, goes to jihad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 1/6 of it goes to jihad. And so if that's what it is, and then it just boils down to what do you call jihad? So one person calls jihad a traffic jam. You know, another one calls it a bad marriage that you're kind of just struggling your way through marriage. Another one calls it my personal struggle. Another one calls it, you know, taking someone's head off. It's war, it's battle, taking over land and territory. And she was talking about that you know, Islam needs reformation and needed to probably redefine, you know, these different things. What you're going to have is just another wing of that whole thing. More when we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
$50 I
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy.
$50 Eye Guy.
The orange.
BRSM.
BRSM. Brownsville Revival School of Ministry. Ministry. Where they wear polyester slacks.
Sure did.
Did you now?
I guess.
Still do.
So what's happening?
Oh, my goodness. Dr. Brown, yeah. Michael Brown, he has put this article out there in Charisma Magazine. And it's the anointing. It transferred.
I know. Isn't amazing? Help it. It never happened until it happened.
Until, yeah, exactly. Thank you. Thank you for that contribution.
Mental tar babies. Mental tar babies. Mental tar babies.
Thank you. Anyhow, he talks about these 10 quotes that really have helped to shape his life and those that he's committed to memory. And
his mustache. He has a big, huge mustache.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
Well, I wanted to share.
We're
them
just
with
blowing
you.
Your mind. Can we? Can, it's like
tilt.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And then, didn't see the connection, but okay.
Okay, right. I forgot you were his student. Yeah. So I know you probably think differently in the context.
It was Hagar.
Of that.
Remember?
It was Hagar. I know. Didn't she come from the anyway?
Go ahead.
Okay, so back to all time favorite quotes. I can't even say the
Dr. Brown, we're I did sorry, not Mr. say that. Dr. Brown, I did not say that. You call it croaks?
Quotes. Quotes.
It's not, well, you know, croakers.
Quotes.
You know, okay. Quoters. Quoters, not croakers.
Ready?
Got it.
All right. Okay, we're here. All right. VFN Radio, we're here. Okay.
Yeah, is it hot or is it just
it's
the croaks?
Just you. So, the number one.
What are we talking about
quote,
again?
Very serious quote, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
very
my goodness.
Serious quote.
Let's
very
get serious,
quote. Serious yeah.
mode.
I think
Ian,
so.
We are paying attention right now. Man, this is serious.
Thank you, Ian.
Okay.
So.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
So I'm hearing, you know, what they're talking, what this Iman's suggestion is to Canada shut down the mosques for 3 years in Canada and review the previous 3 years, 3 months worth of 3 months, shut them down for 3 months. And then during that 3 months, look back at the last 3 months and see where the money's coming from. And you can follow the money. I mean, as we talked about in the previous program, is it boils down to, you know, whose economy are you following?
Mm-hmm.
And many people, they'll just do whoever provides them money. They'll just dance, you know. And this is the radical Islamic dance, you know, based on what she's saying.
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing you think, close down their mosque in Canada for 3 months. They're suggesting, an imam suggesting this, and she's agreeing with it. And then go back in 3 months and look at their records, including the schools. And he says, and including mine. So he's not just saying them. He's just saying us. Because we've got to find out who's against Canada. What he's saying. Well, the first thing I think about the First Amendment. If this takes place in Canada, I mean America, I think about the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, which is your rights. And it says, Congress shall make no law representing an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech. And so, in the constitutional argument would be made in America would be, you cannot inhibit the gathering. Islamic gathering at the mosques, you can't shut it down. And if somebody tried to shut down a church in America and said, you know, you can't shut it down. You just can't shut it down. You cannot prohibit that from happening. But if inside that building they have a nuclear reactor and they're building a bomb, that is not constitutionally protected.
Right.
If they're practicing on how to take off someone's head, where to place the knife or the sword, at the base of someone's head in alignment to something they have written down in their belief book. You don't get a tax deduction for buying your knife or removing somebody's head. That First Amendment doesn't say
fall in there.
That you can go get a sword, you can purchase it, and since you're going to use it for jihad, 1/6 of your contribution to some mosques in the world, that you get to write that sword off. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, you're not covered. It's not covered.
Right.
Is, I mean, that's what people are saying.
Right. And they're trying to connect it and say, no, it's the same thing.
Because that means that this that the government is supporting enemies of the state, enemies of the Constitution, enemies of the very citizens that they are meant to protect. Protect the this is what you swear an oath to. And you got to see these oaths. You can see them on the torch. Maybe it's related. They raise their hand. The president, Senate, House of Representatives, all across the land, new citizens. That's why we're supposed to stand up and pledge allegiance ourselves. But he says, you know, I pledge to protect the citizens of the United States from enemies, foreign and domestic.
And domestic.
And domestic. So that means if somebody is in a church building, a Christian, supposedly Christian church building, a Mormon building, I don't care if it's even a tabernacle, or a mosque, or a coffee shop, and they're planning to harm Americans, there is no constitutional protection for wanting to physically harm someone. You know, we're supposed to protect. That's what that's the whole purpose of the Constitution, is to give you rights to protect. You have rights. And so that wouldn't be wrong if, in fact, a particular school, whatever school it was, I mean, there was, you know, there's whatever school it would be, including public schools that are preaching or teaching, you know, doctrines of ending life, you know, killing babies, men, women, people of different beliefs, trying to push some sort of agenda that snuffs out the Constitution, you know, whatever it is. And, I believe the original word was, as long as, you know, everybody's free, as long as your freedom doesn't, you know, break my leg or rob from me, you know, you're free.
Right.
But the second you cut my leg off and rob me of my head that sits on my shoulders, that's a violation. I mean, that's not a free, you don't have that kind of freedom. We don't have freedom to harm folks. And so truly that wouldn't be a violation of the First Amendment rights. And, you know, nobody should be operating what we're doing anyway. If you're a Christian organization and you are a Christian, you're a church, you know, God's looking at everything you're doing. No, the government has no right and shouldn't mess with it. But just like what happened in Houston, when the mayor wanted the sermons of the you know, reportedly one of the sermons, you know, people started sending their sermons and Bibles from all around the land. I think last I heard it was over 1,000 Bibles were given and in the sermons, because, you know, preachers want their sermons heard.
Yeah.
You know, they actually put it on tapes and downloads and everything. Yeah, like, please listen to my message. And so there's nothing, what's there to hide, you know, in the context of that? We shouldn't be doing things that everything's in the light anyway. And if we make mistakes, and we all do, we just fix them. And we want to know those things. So we're not trying to get away with something. So it's, but we don't want government stepping over our constitutional rights either, because what happens is it starts innocently, and next thing you know, you have the Church of England, and then you get beheaded if you switch, you know, other than the Church of England, and, you know, the next thing you know, you have pilgrims coming across the land, and they're getting robbed on their way over here, and only 50% of them make it to America, and out of that 50%, most of them die, and they're trying to find a place where they could just go, Jesus is Lord, you know, and follow Scripture. And so that's why our founding fathers made the Constitution like they did, just to prevent that. It's like government step away from that. But it's not because we have something to hide. It's not because, oh, so we could preach hate and you know, harm folks. I mean, that's not what it's about. It's not. I mean, when did Jesus ever preach? I mean, he just said, you know, he said, you snakes, you hypocrites. But he was talking to the religious folks. He wasn't talking to the prostitute. Right. He said to the prostitute, you're forgiven, you know, go and sin no more. You know, he said to the fisherman, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. You know, he says, I'll forgive your sins and remember them no more. You know, I call you a friend because I'm sharing everything with you. I'm going to live with you. I'm going to come. Don't even worry about this life, because I am got a life after this. And I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And that since I'm going away to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back for you so that you can be with me forever, you know? And how do we get there? He says, through him. He is the way. He is the way to this place that he's preparing in the family of God. It has no way to do with political systems. But he tells us to stand up. And what we believe that if in fact a man makes Jesus Christ the Lord of his life and becomes a disciple of Jesus Christ and begins to abide with him, many people are going to be blessed. Because when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. But when evil folks rule, the people grind their teeth. And so if we want a blessed nation, we got to say, you know, we have people that love God, that love you, that have a vision for what God has for this nation to be in leadership, because you're going to flourish. Your business is going to flourish. Mm-hmm. Your family's going to flourish. I mean, the economy's going to flourish. And it says the people rejoice. You know, I'll end with this. But I just felt like this, you know, Rahil Raza from Canada, she just nailed it. And this imam who wrote this open letter to all of the imams in the mosques around Canada, I think we could learn a lot from this. And I encourage you to go to the VFN Torch and share this segment with folks, because, you know, we've been saying for a while, you know, where are the Muslims standing up for what's humane and that this is wrong? Well, there you go. Yeah. It's happening, and we should care about our fellow citizens in America. And what she said was, should we wait till 30,000 people are killed? What happens when you talk this way, like we're talking in our nation, being politically correct? She says, 9/11 will happen. So it's time for us to stand up and take some advice, and I think she's got some great wisdom here. Dear Lord, save our country. Bring us into sanity. Forgive us, Lord, for how we're treating Israel. Make sure you join us on the next program. You won't believe what our president's and White House is saying about the prime minister and how we have to react to that in a biblical way to make sure that we don't suffer for that. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
I've heard this once, I've heard it too many times. When I run into someone and they tell me, I just don't want to be part of a crowd. I just don't want to be part of another group. I don't want to be another number.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to go to an event. I want to experience God.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy fellowship with God's people. And I want to grow. I want to be a true disciple. Mm-hmm. I want to learn of his ways. I want to abide with him and spend time with him. And I want to hear God for myself. I'm no longer interested in being a spectator, but I want to get in the game.
Yeah.
I want to fulfill the great commitment. I want to fulfill the great commission, but I just don't see where I fit in the crowd. If that's you and you have a longing to fulfill the call of God in your life, if you have a longing just to truly be what God's called you to be, a son and daughter of God, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to be a part of a family that's not just spectating and watching others do it, but are actually doing it together, I want to encourage you, find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day, you know, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24/7, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire 2-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you.